welcome to the Boom or Bust NRL Fantasy Podcast 2024. If you like what you hear today, make sure to follow us at Boom or Bust NRL on Facebook and Instagram and subscribe to the podcast. Welcome to the Boom or Bust NRL Fantasy Podcast, Warriors preseason preview for 2024. I'm your host, Stuart Lord, and tonight I'm joined, first of all, by Nick, stats guru, fantasy nugget, person who got the kids to bet on time tonight. How are you going, Nick?
What it do, baby? Man, I know my soundboard. It's cracking a titty.
You might need to drink something proper tonight. And we also have joining us tonight, Rob McStay from the Amateurs Podcast, joining us all the way from New Zealand to talk Warriors. How are you going, Rob?
Yeah, going very well. Thanks. Thanks for the invite. Looking forward to talking about the Warriors.
That's it. Thanks for joining us, even though it's late over that time of the world. All right, let's get started here. Predicted team list. So this one, it was pretty easy because there's not too many changes to this squad. So look, at fullback, Chance, Nickel, Klokstad. On the wings, at this point, it looks like it's Marcelo Montoya and Dallin Watene-Zelezniak. In the centres, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck rejoins from a bit of a failed stint at rugby, joins probably Rocco Berry. In the halves, Luke Metcalf and SJ. Then at prop, Adam Fanua-Blake in his last year at the Warriors is joined likely by Mitch Barnett, Wade Egan at hooker. On the edges, we have Jackson Ford, and I'm thinking at this point probably Kurt Capewell for his last contract. And then locking it all down, we have Tohu Harris. And then on the bench, it's a big bench. It's a quality bench. We've got Bunty Afoa, Jazz Tavaga, Dylan Walker, and Murata Nukore. I realized that I spelt Tagaga instead of Tavaga. Stayed a second there. Oh, God. So just looking at that, would there be any changes that you make to that estimated squad list, Rob?
No, I think that's exactly the same as I've got. There's been some conjecture around who starts in the halves. I think I agree with you that it will be Metcalf. I think he just was a bit better than Tamari Martin, offers a bit more. And then the bench composition is interesting, right? Like all of those guys kind of play the same-ish position.
Middle-ish.
Yeah, it's like Walker can obviously cover sixth and center, and you know, but yeah, it'll be interesting how they deploy kind of Nakore, Ford, Capewell. I'm sure we'll get into it.
That's it. It might be one of those everyone gets 60-minute Panthers type schemes, or you know, one person gets 72 people get 60. All right, well look, let's talk us through these 2024 gains and losses, Nick.
We got RTS in for rugby union. Where did he play for the Blues or something?
Yeah, played for the Blues.
And mate, he's not a fave. He was an All Black once or twice, wasn't he? It's pretty awesome. Anyway, Chanel Harris-Tavita, CHT. He's back from sabbatical, traveling the world, right? Is that what he did? South America or something?
Yeah, I think he got into some writing and stuff, finding himself. I think he played from when he was quite young. So he's still quite young compared to us probably, but I think he just burnt out and hopefully comes back stronger, but hard to see how he gets a spot in the 17 to start the year.
Yeah, definitely a nice depth signing there. And then a big one, Kurt Capewell, bit of a surprise move coming in for the Broncos. Did you see that happening at all, Rob? A bit of a shock or not really?
No, not really. I thought the edges were where we were kind of had the most depth, but Nakore never really played 80. So I'm wondering if now with Fanua-Blake leaving, I wonder if Nakore is going to transfer into more of a middle, definitely a bit of a hybrid this year. I don't know. I definitely didn't see Capewell coming though. I think it's hard to know whether if the Broncos were happy to see him go. Perhaps it was kind of one of those ones where he leaves before, you know, his form dips, but I'm sure he'll go well on the Warriors. He's a good battler and he's a good player. So
yeah,
it's quite surprising. Because Capewell's only 30, Stu.
I think they were offering a year at the Broncos past this year, whereas they were offering 3 at the Warriors. So they've done one of those, we won't stand in your way of a better contract, because they had Piakora pushing up against Capewell anyway. So they kind of, it made the decision for them.
It's pretty much like a Brian Hoffman signing for the Warriors, you know what I mean? Like at that time of his career, he's obviously done a lot of winning, will bring a lot of experience and a lot of pedigree, and some really good first grade top-notch signings there in those three. But in terms of losses, guys, Viliame Valea is off to the Cowboys, Bailey Sirinen off to France, play for Catalan's Dragons. Brandon Viliame is retired. Josh Curran's off to the Bulldogs, really nice signing there. Ronald Volkman, who knows where he is in limbo, getting surgery and hopefully getting medically looked after. And Vilinga Kapu is released as well. So what's your biggest loss there, Rob?
It's probably Curran, isn't it? But he wasn't really, he just never really got a good look in under Webster last year. Like, we obviously it's going to be good for us because we're going to get Curran at a discount at the Bulldogs. I'm just never really sure if they saw eye to eye. And obviously he lost the starting spot to Jackson Ford in the preseason. So yeah, I wonder if it was just one of those kind of cultural type disagreements perhaps between Webster and Curran. I think he'll be missed off the bench. I think he did offer quite a lot, but Capewell possibly an upgrade in terms of like game experience and just like an adult. So yeah, hard to know.
Yeah, I definitely think that punching a 16-year-old at an all-ages nightclub in Port Macquarie probably doesn't do your career
yeah,
a whole bunch of good, I think, with a new coach. So I imagine that could be part of it. And I think he missed part of the preseason because he was having to bounce around a little bit. And then, you know, when someone does well, like Jackson Ford did, it's tough to get back in, right?
He must have just had a phenomenal preseason, Jackson Ford, because he kind of came out of nowhere. I think he was one of the surprises of last year.
Yeah. But look, I've been watching him for a little while at the Dragons, and I thought he was too good not to be playing under McGregor. He just never really got a look in there either, did he, Nick?
No, to be honest, he wasn't all that good either. I think, you know, we sort of have strong edges when he was there, and then when he left, we have probably the worst edges in the league now, you know what I mean? So, yeah, we could definitely use him now, but we're sort of playing more through the middle, I think, Stu.
There you go. All right. Well, look, let's talk about injuries. So, look, SJ did suffer an injury in the off-season early pre-season, but he will be fine to start the season by all accounts. And we've got Dimitrik Sifakula, and he's got a knee injury. It looks like an ACL injury there. So, you know, he'll be back maybe end of season, possibly, but he's real depth signing as well. He's young, he should recover. But Nick, talk us through the important stuff, strength of schedule.
Mate, last year the Warriors, I think they only had the one bye over the Origin period, but this year they have the two major bye rounds, round 13 and 19, which is pretty gross. And then their final bye is the last round of the season, round 27. So not as juicy as it was last year, particularly as obviously lots of Kiwis in the team. So they would have been available for Origin had they not been scheduled for bye over the major bye rounds, which is annoying. But anyway, in terms of teams they have twice, mate, they're the Bulldogs, Dolphins, Knights, Raiders, Seagulls, Sharks, Storm and Titans. So that sort of equates, according to my sort of analysis, the second easiest overall schedule. From rounds 1 to 12, they have the ninth or the middlest, the way you want to look at it. But then the Origin period, they're the third easiest, and they run home for rounds 21 to 27. They're the second easiest. So I worked it out. I think there's only about six hard games all year. So just running through the whole schedule, they got the Storm round 2, which is away, and then the Rabbitohs away round 5, the Knights away round 9, the Roosters away round 10, and then the Panthers away round 11 for Magic Round. And then the last hard game is the Sharks away round 26. All their other tough opponents are home and are somewhat Origin affected. So as they are highly unlikely to have anyone play Origin except maybe Capewell. They're likely to have a cruisy Origin period against the Cowboys in round 14, which is the minor bye. The Titans in the round 16 with the major bye, they'll be missing at least Tino and probably Fifita there. And then the Broncos round 17 afterwards for the minor bye, they may be missing a player or two depending on how everyone comes out of that second Origin. And in terms of the run home, it's also pretty crazy, as I sort of suggested earlier, with the Dolphins away around 23, the Seagulls away around 24. They host the Bulldogs around 25, and the Sharks, as I mentioned before, away around 26 before their final bye in round 27. Super easy, but unfortunately, the Kiwi Guns, as I said, are not available for those major bye rounds, which was their huge value last year. So a bit of a downer there, right, Stu?
Yeah, no, it's a little bit painful. It looks like we probably want to own them early if we do want to own them, essentially, because they've obviously got those later buys from round 13, 19, 27.
Great for cashies.
That's true. Well, look, let's knock off a couple of those guys first then. So really, we got Rocco Berry, 396K, 29 break even, possible contender for starting centre. Not sure that he's got huge value. I've had a look. His try scoring rate is very low. So once every 5 games. So seems to make his spot his own as the season progressed, came in from round 11 and really did lock it down very quietly. I sort of didn't take huge notice until later in the season, but only averaged 31 over his 4 games. So priced at 29, scoring at 31. Can you see any huge upside for Rocco Berry here, Rob? Is there anything that I'm missing?
No, I think he was coming off quite a serious injury from memory. whether it was hamstring or calf, something like that. So I suppose that's potential for upside, but I tend to agree with you. He had a lot of things going his way last year, which was kind of Sean and just passing to DWZ, who scored everything. So I'm not sure he's going to do too much better. Probably some little bit of value, maybe 3 or 4 points, but I think I'd be looking elsewhere. I think I agree with you on starting with Warriors, but there just doesn't seem to be that many to start with. So maybe he is a bit of a pod option if you want to go that way.
That's true. If nothing else, he's cheap. And considering that I've seen people starting with Moses Suli, I'd take Rocco Berry every day of the week. Jesus. My God.
Oh, without a doubt.
With for 55K cheaper, I'd if you're at the point where you've got Moses Suli in your team, turn around, change it to Rocco Berry, find someone else.
Those minor buys can be quite helpful. I know that it's annoying that they're not there for the major buys, but I suppose they're a good head-to-head team, aren't they, the Warriors this year?
They're absolutely a beautiful head-to-head team. Especially because head-to-head.
It is 100% great pickup, Rob.
That's great. So, look, let's talk about a guy that I've got a little bit of interest in, Luke Metcalf, 457K, 33 break-even. So he averages 35 when playing the full game. Issue is lack of base stats last year hurt, so he only ran for an average of 85 metres and 40 kick metres a game. So his scoring was almost entirely from try scoring and line breaks and try assists. So, which were extremely high for a half. Like, I'm just putting them up now, but essentially they were very high. So, he's got more of a proper preseason. He had that nasty hamstring. Was it hamstring injury, Rob?
Yeah, he had a really bad hamstring. He went over to the States, I think, to get it sorted out.
He did too with, what's his name? The same place that Turbo went to.
Yeah.
Yep, right. Perfect. Yep. So, with that, he certainly did have a shortened preseason. So I'm just pulling up now. He had a try scoring once every two games. So he scored a try, lane break assist once every two games. It was all very high. Try assist once every two games. So pretty big. So look, the only thing that I'm thinking here is that SJ, it's likely his last season. So I reckon that they probably put a little bit more of the work into Luke Metcalf's hands this year. So we can see probably a little bit of a base stat rise. But I've still got him as like maybe a high 30s average to maybe low 40s, but it'll depend on the game. So if he scores a try, it'll be high 40s to low 50s. But without a try and a line break, we're talking about like high 20s to low 30s. So is that the sort of risk that we want to be taking, Nick, or would we rather a guy like Kyle Flanagan over a little bit cheaper over at the Dragons?
Mate, he sort of he sounds like discount Dylan Brown, doesn't he? The way he's sort of projecting him. It'd be nice if he got those running meters up to sort of 150 instead of 85, you know what I mean? But, I mean, there's so many good ball runners in this team and so many workhorses, and, you know, they just brought one in with RTS. So I'm not sure how much of the milkshake Metcalf's really going to get, you know what I mean? I'd sort of, if I was him, I'd be playing those guys off my hip than running the ball necessarily. What do you think?
Yeah, it's certainly a bit of an interesting one. Like, the more that I looked in, the more I thought that there's such room for improvement here. I'd certainly take him over Ezra Mamm, like 7K more. But, like, just off the top of my head, I'd have him over Ezra Mamm because he does have probably similar talent, but I guess more of the milkshake to drink potentially in that squad. That's all I can think of, Nick.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, for sure.
How about Rob? What are you thinking, Luke Metcalf?
Yeah, it's just everything kind of went through Sean last year, didn't it? And I suppose it will depend what edge Roger is on. Are we thinking he'll play on the left and they'll keep Rocco and Dylan together, or?
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking too. Which means he'll have Roger outside him, which could be nice for him and for Montoya. But Roger might kind of do that roaming like center type situation because he'll want the ball as much as possible too. So I think I agree. It's a kind of watch the space with Metcalf. He's not actually got a contract for beyond this year either. So I hope they kind of do lock him down so that they can kind of spend some time progressing him, because otherwise the Warriors aren't going to have any halves next year. So
yes.
I mean, we have Chanel, I guess. But.
Yeah, that'll hurt a little bit. Excellent. Well, look, he's a guy who got penciled in probably late in draft as well, like one of those ones where if you miss the early halves in there, might be a good late round pickup. All right, let's talk about Tohu Harris real quick. So we saw the coach turn Tohu into a Zio clone last year, and it worked well for the Warriors. So it meant more passing, less running for Tohu, a few less tackles. So games where he played more than 50 minutes, he did well, averaging close to 58, but it's not enough value really to want to lock it in early with him. And combine that with those knee injuries that he seems to keep on picking up and age, I think, you know, he could keep value, but could slow up a little bit. So only case to make for Tohu is that he plays rounds 1 to 12 straight and then plays 14 to 18 straight. So really, it's only one buy till round 18. So even then, I'm not sold for value at the moment. It just could be like one of those bat down the middle. I don't know. I'm still not quite seeing it here. Any disagreements that Tohu's not quite where we wanted to be this year?
No, not from me. I mean, there always seems to be a time where he becomes a keeper, whether it's through like an injury affected game or like his role expands again somehow.
Yes.
Hard to imagine it goes beyond what it was last year because there was quite a few 80 minute lock games, which is phenomenal. But you're right. He is in the tail end of his career now. I think he signed through 2025, but you've got to think that his minutes are going to come down eventually.
Yeah, that's it. And so I think they'll keep him doing it, but it's just be like a little bit less running, a little bit more, you know, yeah, ball playing it. And whatever else there. So, but you're right. If he does go through that dip, he's certainly a guy you can pick up, like especially if that's an early dip and just play him all the way to round 19, right?
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Watch this space for him too. Nick, talk us through SJ.
Oh, mate, what about CNK?
You can talk us through CNK, I don't mind.
Okay, mate, CNK, 551K, 40 break even, which is what he averaged last year. So I had him in his boom. So look, I'm going to do a little bit of my own backslapper here, guys, because, you know, if I'm not going to do it, no one's going to do it. Stu bloody won't. So I had him in his absolute boom last year with a bounce back from his 26 in 2022 and where he averaged a 40 in 2023. So I was predicting a high 30s average, just by the way. Anyway, you could argue there is a tiny bit of value. He had four games cut short, so he didn't play the full game, and he actually averaged 42 in 16 full 80-minute games. So not much value compared to Paps or Campbell at 551K, but maybe an option if you like having that theory of playing the first 18 games, save for that round 13 buy, which is actually pretty good. So, but no one's really going to pick him up round one, are they? Sure.
No, I think there's too many good wing fullback options. Like if Paps and Campbell both play, I think that's kind of your lineup sorted, right?
Yeah, for sure. And no interest there, Rob?
No, I agree with Stu. And I suppose the only thing in his favor is he doesn't have the early buy like Campbell and Pappenhausen have. But hopefully we get a Raider that can mitigate that slightly.
Yeah, yep. I'm dreading that week where we're playing both like us.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it.
Weeks and Chevy Stewart or Savage or someone. And it's like I'm just expecting them to pull out like an 8 and a 7 each. And everyone will be like, ha ha, we told you. And it's like, yeah, we knew. Why did we pick six Raiders in our squad?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're too relevant, aren't they? Such.
It's
no
so
good's
gross.
Gonna come of it.
Oh, I'm so unhappy this year. I'm going to have to watch Raiders games with actual interest.
Oh, mate, they're getting the spoon. Okay, on to SJ, 872K, 63 break even, backslapping again. I predicted the bounce back year, but I predicted a 51 where he got a 63.4 in 2023. His prior best was 2017 for a 51 average. So 2023 was the sixth best statistical season for the Rugby League Eye Test since he started recording those stats in 2014. So it's absolutely off the charts in terms of his milkshake that he drank. The extra points from my projection was extra four base, four on the kick meters, four on attacking stats, and he actually reduced his negatives. So he really benefited from having a really good defense and a great team around him, great coaching. But it really is picking him up at his peak pricing from round one. So there's definitely value there. You're probably better off going up to a Hines or a Cleary or dropping back to a Fogarty or Matt Burton if you're one of those people.
No one's right, one of those people, dude.
Or Moses, maybe. Like, it's still cheaper and an option too, possibly.
He surely can't back it up again, right, Rob?
No. I think the only slight piece of value, which isn't really value at all, but is that he lost the goal kicking to Pompey because he hurt himself at the end of the season.
That's right. Yep.
It's so minor. Right? It's so minor that it doesn't really matter, I think. Everything just kicked right for him last year. And I really hope he has a similar season or even close to the season he had last year, but it's just really hard to see it.
Yeah. Even the head knocks that he had, like he had like head knocks and he came back on, like everyone's expecting him to be gone, right? It's like, no, I'm back. That's cool. And he scores like a try, intercept try.
He scored that intercept try with a, you know, bleeding nose and it's just crazy.
That's it. The club doctor was obviously in on something that week.
Had him in his fantasy team, Pat.
Fair enough. All right, let's talk about probably the most highly owned warrior, RTS.
Mate, 619K with a 45 break even. So we've got him in the centres and that's all the mail at the moment. So he'll get the dual centre wing fullback, which is pretty juicy. So he's never played in the centres at the NRL level, which makes it sort of difficult to project. So FanHub has him priced at his fullback stats pretty much, where his career average is 44.7 in 127 games. So it really is a guess of where he'll land. So back, guys, I'm going to do an old school ground up projection. So here it goes. Okay, 15 tackles, I'm guessing. About 170 run meters. So, you know, good centers are about 130, 140, but I'm reckoning he'll get in there, do an extra two or three carries for 170 run meters. I'm guessing a 40% try scoring rate, 50% try assist rate, a 70% line break assist rate, 5 tackle busts, an offload, 1 to hand and 1 to the ground, 2.5 missed tackles, 1.5 errors, half a penalty. So what I mean to say is about 32 base, about 26 attacking and 9 negatives, which is about a 49. So he's basically Isaac Targo in his stats is what I'm guessing, but he's not quite Dane Gagai. I mean, he's only 30. He looks absolutely cut. His last two NRL seasons, he was obviously really unhappy being away from home due to COVID, and that took a big toll on him, was a big reason for him going to Union to stay home with his family. So I think he'll be an even better version back in the NRL, and we definitely saw this for both CNK and SJ in terms of living with their families in NZ and the impact that that has had on them on the field. So I also just hit up my mate really quick. He sort of said that he was actually awesome at Super Rugby level, but he really couldn't crack it in the All Blacks because of Geordie Barrett. And there's just too many great centres and backs in general in the All Blacks, right? So
there you go. Okay.
He had a good run, but you know, he's not Sonny Bill. And even then, Sonny Bill, he took ages to really learn the game and to find his niche as sort of that offloading center for Union. But what I'm saying is I think he's been playing well in Union, so he should be carrying some pretty good form back into the NRL is sort of what I'm thinking. Any thoughts, Rob?
Yeah, no, I like all that. I can see him being someone like Tango, like even close to Gagai if everything kicks right. It's just we've never seen it before, you know? So it's so hard to project. All the stuff you're saying is making me very excited for watching him this year, though, you know? Like,
he's a guy you kind of want to stash in either in your squad or in your draft squad somewhere, just so you can ride him each week, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's hard to know what the best outcome would be for the Warriors because he could be this like early 50 average center, but perhaps a slightly better outcome would be for an injury at fullback. And then he goes back there. But they have the other young fullback as well. So maybe he just is the center and maybe he can just excel there. Look, I really hope he does well. I watched a little bit of rugby. I'm not a massive rugby fan. He seemed to look really good. I think it's just, you just don't get as much clean ball in rugby union.
Or space.
So it just seemed a bit of a waste of his talents. And yeah, definitely at the All Black level, there's just 1,000 Barretts apparently that keep deciding they want to be inside centers, so that definitely didn't help his cause. I just don't know if he ever quite found the right position either. He possibly should have just been a winger
or a fullback, like someone with enough space.
A winger for sure, but their wingers are huge. He's not big enough to be their wingers.
Yeah, he has put on a bit of weight though since he's been in the NRL. I think he bulked up a bit to play 12, but yeah, I think it's going to be really good to see him playing. And yeah, it's just hard. It's hard to project. And I think you've done a really good job because it's anyone's guess.
That's true. Well, look, RTS is certainly someone I'll try and slap in somewhere just to, you know, keep an eye on him.
I'm really tempted, to be honest, because save it for the Roosters pod, but Suoliti, Stu, you and I, we're pretty keen on.
If he's on the wing, yep.
No. Well, yeah, and goal kicking. There's a few ifs and buts there.
Yes.
But other than that, like, centre's just looking bleak. So taking a flyer on RTS, whilst it may feel like a risk, it may not actually turn out to be the risk necessarily, unless you sort of want to go for a Tango. But we sort of know there's not too much upside there, and he's sort of 50k cheaper on a really, 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 really good side. Like this, like 1-17, this may be the best team in the comp, like up there with the Panthers, right?
Yeah, no, it's definitely a good side. I think the only thing that'll hurt them is the depth issue. But if they stay healthy, they'll be a very tough side to beat this year, the Warriors.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk through the last guy. Last year, Adam Fanua-Blake, 792K, 58 break-even. Nick, what are we thinking?
Mate, no, there's absolutely no chatter in any forum or podcast on him. So everyone seems to prefer Haas, Hopgood, and DeBellin in whatever sort of order. So whilst he's signed for the Sharks, he's still the main man for the Warriors front row rotation, averaging a career high 59 minutes and a 0.97 PPM. So this is absolutely nothing to sneeze at, which is why he's so highly priced. Only problem is that it's somewhat impossible to improve his PPM, and 60 minutes is likely his cap in the front row. So whilst he can pay that mid to high 60 minutes, it's not really sustainable for a full season. So especially when you're looking at the quality of the bench with Niokoro, Foa, and Tavaga, all really quality guys who can play through the middle. It's just not really necessary for AFB to play sort of 70 minutes and sort of hit that mid-60s sort of average, right?
Yeah. I don't know, Rob. What are your thoughts on Fanua-Blake?
Yeah, there was a lot of tries in there as well last year, which is definitely not sustainable in conjunction to all the other things that you've said. But I think you're right. Like, Tohu and Fanua-Blake just had to play massive minutes last year because, like, Tavanga didn't play many games. And when you've got, like, Barnett was hurt for quite a lot as well, wasn't he?
He was.
Yep.
Injury. So they're just a lot fell on their shoulders. And I think just so many Warriors had their best career seasons last year. And he's definitely one that just was excellent, but just played insane minutes. Yeah. And
you hit the nail on the head.
It's going to work this year.
I'm just looking at the stats now, mate. You hit it on the head. So I'm looking here. Early in the season, while Barnett was still fit, he was going somewhere between 45 and 55 minutes a game. So 44, 55, 41, 49, 52, 51, etc. And then when Barnett went down, it suddenly goes 70, 75, 67, 51, 68, 65. Like, it's that extra 10 minutes to 15 minutes a game for the rest of the season. And he kept that up. His last three games were 71 minutes each.
Yeah, and it kind of just was that you couldn't take him off because he was just, like, so immense. And that might happen in a few games this year, but I don't know if it will need to every week.
Yeah. He almost set some running meters records in some of these games. He ran for 270 meters against the Tigers. The record's only 300.
Wow.
That's ridiculous. Okay.
The Warriors were just crazy to watch last year. They were sort of like the Storm, you know. They'd sort of put pressure on every single play the whole game. Like, I know the Panthers do it, but the Storm sort of feel a bit more surgical, and the Warriors felt very surgical last year in the way they sort of went about their attack. It was just absolutely relentless, especially when you've got guys like AFB literally punching through the middle and genuine try scorers, as you say, Rob. It just creates so much time and space for the outside guys, right? Especially SJ, and the wingers tend to be the beneficiary, I suppose, at the end of the day as well. Just immense, really.
But yeah, I think in summary, it's really a kind of a head-to-head play, isn't it? Because the just upside seems to all be from last year. I think it'll still be really, really good. It's just, is the ceiling there this year? Perhaps not.
No, I think that not while everyone's one. Healthy, yeah, not round one for me. No, awesome. Well, look, is there anyone else that we need to talk about? I'm obviously fading Jackson Ford and Kurt Capewell as being at value at this point. Wade Egan as well, who I think there's probably a little bit of value there, but not too much, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, 587K. I reckon there's probably a little bit of value there, but there's so many good hookers this year. I'm not sure that, you know, you could take him, right? There's...
No, I'm not convinced he's going to play 80 either. I think someone will pinch a few minutes, which will just take away all of his value.
That's it with Tavaga, yeah, and Walker there most likely.
Walker, yeah.
Awesome. All right, guys, we might wrap it up there. This is the Boom or Bust NRL Fantasy Podcast. New Zealand Warriors Preseason Preview 2024 signing out.
Thanks for listening to the Boom or Bust podcast. Make sure to subscribe and check out our Facebook page for more info.